I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 94. Up next, the Great Danes of the University at Albany, Saturday 2 o'clock game at Boswell Field. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesmen, Gregor Amon. Welcome back.
Thanks, brother.
Before we get into the Robert Morris game, and probably the less said about it, the better, let's just look at the overall view from 30,000 feet. Five games in, we've seen what your team's capable of, and there's really two meanings to that. They're capable of great lacrosse, and they're capable of really poor lacrosse. How do we get more of one and less of the other?
Well, you know, I think the best way to answer that question, Ted, is to kind of dig into what that Robert Morris game looks like and why we feel like we performed so poorly. And I think there's two distinct reasons, and they're you know, disheartening to say or discouraging to say, but five games in, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I feel like we've got a team that can play great lacrosse, and we've got a team that can play very poor lacrosse. I'm not sure we've done a great job as coaches, you know, despite our best efforts, teaching the right way to compete, the right way to approach all games. So we're revisiting that standard, but, you know, regardless of the wins, the losses, whether they're pretty, they're ugly, or like Robert Morris, horrific. These are great guys. They're good guys. I just don't know as though what we're saying is translating all the way. So we need to change our message a bit. And I'm not sure enough players are taking full ownership over their craft and over their product on game day. Some of our biggest and best contributors. So we've been challenging them a ton lately, you know, not like we don't always, but this week in particular, I think they've had a very persistent message from their coaching staff of how we're going to respond from the situation we had last week. And so let's get into that a little bit. And I think it'll, you know, answer that question in its entirety.
It's interesting because in last week's podcast, I said Robert Morris isn't the same old helter-skelter offense team they used to be because they hadn't been scoring that much. And you said, well, don't discount that. And we saw that. It seemed like in about the second quarter, they just started doing that where everybody runs to the goal from the long poles to the bus driver to the water boy. And that seemed to give you a lot of trouble just stopping the ball. Three long pole goals and a face-off goal. What's breaking down in stopping the ball coming down the middle on any kind of a fast break?
Effort. I mean, Saturday's game was just a lack of physical toughness and a lack of mental toughness and a lack of effort in spots. We talk a lot about, especially this year, being grateful for opportunity. You know, we one of the biggest messages we sent after that game, Ted, was one, I think that was, I told our team that was probably one of the top three worst performances in a team since my 12 years here. You know, even that way back when, that Bryant game when we lost, I mean, what was it, 15-2, Ted? 15-1? You know, I think we played poorly. I don't think we played as soft as we did this past weekend. It was a constant scenario where guys were not subbing in fashions that they've been taught, were neglecting the defensive end of the field, pretty casual in how they got into the defensive end of the field. And I honestly think it starts with their approach to the game. I don't believe they were prepared to play in the cold, and I don't believe they were prepared to respect their opponent as much as they should have. And, you know, I encourage all of our fans and the great Hobart faithful to know that those messages were delivered to these men. I think, you know, I told the staff the first, even before the Cornell game Monday, about, you know, talking about, you know, we're already prepping for RMU. And I said, this is going to be all about how we travel, our first overnight travel scenario. It's going to be freezing cold, you know, 40, 50 mile per hour winds. And I mean, it was just, you know, and it shell shocked our men. There were too few guys that were prepared to play as hard as they need to in a Division I contest. So those transition goals are about effort, Ted. They're not about excellent execution. It's about get in, match up, stop transition. And if you can catch a ride off the field, great. If you can't, you got to stay and play defense, man. That's lacrosse. And I guess we've done a poor job as coaches just, you know, sending that message in terms of that execution fashion where it's, you know, our guys are focused on what's the easiest way to get off the field versus, you know, what's the best way to play team defense. And, you know, the message that we've had has been pretty persistent this week on what we need to do. And I think, you know, you go from Robert Morris to Albany. Albany may be one of the better transition teams in the country. So we got our work cut out for us.
I mean, like some of it, see if you agree, some of it is just the thinking part of the game. Sometimes the ball turns over and it looks to me like guys in defense are running to where they think they're supposed to be. You know, this is my position, instead of, hey, there's a guy coming down the middle of the field with the ball. I got to go get him. Never mind where I'm supposed to be.
I mean, you could chalk it up to that, Ted. There's a lot of that. You know, I think the frustrating part about being a spectator, you know, watching a game is saying repeatedly, why aren't they doing what looks so easy to do? You know, and you know, it's funny. My dad, who's you know, what my biggest supporter, one of them, and loves lacrosse and is, you know, a junkie for it, watches every game. And, you know, we went and got breakfast a while ago, and he's, you know, he asked the question, he goes, can I ask you something without you getting upset? And I was like, well, Dad, usually when people say that, whatever they're going to ask is going to get the person upset, you know? So, and I'm like, so just be careful, you know, it's, you know, we're in a fragile place. And he said, you know, why does it look like everybody's making a mistake at the same time? So like you play good for a bit, then you play poor for a bit, but everybody plays well together sometimes. Not everybody plays. So, I mean, there's not great answers for a lot of this stuff, man. It's a game, and it's a high-paced game, and it's a game of momentum. But, you know, Robert Morris is all, Ted, no matter how you draw it up, it's just all hard work. It's literally enduring conditions and playing hard with pride. That's, I mean, if you watch that game and you know these guys like I do, I mean, I watch our first offensive possession. I don't even know who those guys are. You know, I'm watching them play in game. I'm like, who the hell is out there? That's not what we do. That's not what we've coached. That's not. So it's very frustrating, man. It is. But as the head coach of the program, they're frustrating because of something I have translated poorly or coached poorly. That's how I look at it. That's what leadership's all about. So, you know, and I told the staff, who, you know, Coach Brundage, very angry this week, very angry Saturday night. Coach Fish the same, Coach Raymond, Coach Mule, all of us, you know, but we can't coach in anger. That's poor leadership, man. We have to coach tactically and show these guys ways to improve. So what you saw was what we felt like key role players not exerting as much effort as they need to because, one, they might have been a little bit cold, and two, they did not respect their opponent. And so Robert Morris shows that in any Division I contest, and Ted, you know this well enough now, we don't play anybody that can't beat us. I mean, they're not on our schedule. There's guys that there's still the age old, well, Hobart should win because, but I don't look at it that way. Do I think we have a better team than Robert Morris? Yeah, but I don't know any of those Robert Morris players. I know our guys. And so, you know, but we've shown that if you don't play well and you're not focused, you're going to lose.
I always have to be careful when saying this because I don't want to seem like I'm advocating violence, but I thought they kind of pushed you around a little bit. And I think I said at one point,
kinda.
I'd like to see somebody just cross-check someone up the head.
What do you mean kinda, Ted? We got bullied all over the field.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting knocked on our ass looking at the ref or the official, which it's a non-negotiable from Coach Raymond, Ted. We don't talk to officials and we don't seek calls. But you can tell how unfocused our team was. Again, every excuse in the book. You played arguably the best team in the country on Tuesday. So you've got short rest and short prep. You have your first overnight visit. You have a 2 o'clock game. It's freezing cold. You know, all of these things that I've already mentioned, and they were highlighted prior to this contest, but I'm not sure we did a great job of listening or communicating those things. So when you go into a game and you have what you think is a very physical team, Tim, you and I have talked about it, Ted. This is a physical group. I mean, you should see our practices this week. I mean, you know, we're in a position where we're watching practice as coaches and we're almost angrier going, all right, well, look what you're capable of and look what you did in a 60-minute contest that we never get back. You know, so I mean, we're getting shoved all over the place, and I just think they had a chip on their shoulder and we didn't. Somehow, somewhere along the road, you know, our guys got into their head that they're good, and we have enough talent to beat teams if we don't play well. That's not our strategy. We're a cultural driven program, and if that's the truth, that means we sacrifice for one another. That means we're more intent on the details of our play, not the outcome of the game. I've never seen a more outcome-driven team that just thinks, you know, execution is going to be provided to them. So I appreciate using the word kinda, but they didn't kinda push us around. They knocked us all over the place. And we just took it. We just, you know, kept whining and complaining about it. And, you know, unfortunately at that point, Ted, Coach Raymond screaming in a huddle and Coach Fish doing the same and Coach Brundage doing the same. And trust me, you know, with our frozen lips, you know, there was spit coming out all over the place. We were hot, man. And we were letting them hear it, but it's got to be up to them to decide that that's not who we are. And I believe that we have a great enough group here and sound enough leadership, and it is here. I know everybody that loves Hobart lacrosse is very disappointed in that game. But they would be very proud at the bounce back. They'd be very proud at how the team watched that film and listened to Coach Raymond's voice. Although, you know, we're not supposed to raise our voice these days, Ted. We're supposed to, you know, we're not supposed to challenge as much as we used to. We're supposed to coddle and we're supposed to nourish and we're supposed to, or sorry, nurture. That's the way these days, but we haven't been that way this week. And they've looked us dead in the eye and answered the bell. So I think they're embarrassed. We are as coaches, you know, this is a coach and player team, not a coach versus player team. So they're responding well these first couple of days of this week. We'll see what kind of team shows up on Saturday. And I mean it that way. I've told them, we can lead you to water, guys. You have got to have the pride you're speaking about on a daily basis. The HMF stuff, the FLT, all the DJU, there is nothing I can't stand more than being full of crap. You know, saying one thing and doing another is not who I'd like to be in this life. And I don't want my players to be that way either. So I can't wait to highlight again before this game how much we got pushed around in that game. And it wasn't kind of, Ted. It was all the way.
Well, you mentioned the bounce back, so let's talk about it. You mentioned that Bryant game a few years ago, a 15-2 loss. You remember what happened 11 days later.
Yeah. You know, it's a – Ted, these aren't finite things. You know, this is – And that's the way these men operate these days. It's like, you know, this happened this day, so this is the way it is. Like, no, you can make changes, man. You can grow. You can learn from experiences. You can learn from failures. Like all the things we talk about daily. So, I mean, I'm not going to allow a program or a roster to just go, oh, well, you know, that's the way it is now. No chance. I have zero focus on whether or not we win this game Saturday. My focus is completely on how we play it. And these men are going to continue to hear that message throughout this week and know that there have been countless failures in the past in my tenure here. But we've always responded. You know, we've responded in a way that makes the Hobart faithful proud, and I anticipate us doing that again.
Offensively, your accuracy has been below average, and when you do put the ball in net, it gets saved a lot. The opponent's save percentage is pretty high. Is it better execution in shots, better shot selection, better ball movement to get better shots? How do you get more of them in the net?
Well, if you're talking about Saturday, all of those things. But if you're talking about the season in general, I do believe that goalie scouts start to become a part of this thing, and they're very tricky, Ted, because you don't want your guys shooting a way that they're not comfortable with. And we do have some pretty good shooters here, but I do think that this was the first game where we said a couple different things about a goaltender, and the strengths and the weaknesses of his stance and how he acts. And the guy had 25 saves, Ted. He played a great game and was probably the difference in the beginning of this game, with the exception of our awful pace and our terrible physicality and all things bad. He played well. He had some great saves. He had some very easy saves. And I think the alternative is our guy didn't, I mean, goalie plays a big part of this thing, and moving them, like I always say, we play another great goalie this weekend with the Great Danes. So we're going to have to get our guys to understand what ball movement does to a goaltender and what changing the plane and mixing up your shots does. There's no other way to do it. We can't create more shooters. These are the guys that we have. So we have to coach them in a way where they're comfortable. They're ready to let it fly when they can. And they're also mixing up where that ball goes throughout the course of the game.
Let's talk about your goal. Jack Fiola kind of has mirrored the team. He's played very well at times, not as well at other times. I thought, for example, he didn't have a great game against Robert Morris. I thought he had a great game clearing the ball. And throughout the year, we always talk about how important it is. It's not just making the save, it's getting rid of the ball. How do you evaluate him in five games, and where does he have to go?
Well, I think the exact way we've talked about the peaks and valleys of this team. He's like you said, I'm not sure he's executed to his nature or his fashion yet. He hasn't played, poorly. He's played very. He's saved the ball poorly in spots, Ted. But he is growing and he's getting better. I think where Jack's at his best, again, we've said it before, is when his thought process is in the competition and not all the details of the alternatives of what he has to do every single shot. So to start that game, I think Jack was the exact basically the exact product of how I've communicated our guys that he just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to play the game well. He wasn't ready to play the game as hard as possible. I think the good part about who Ellis is and who he's been for us in the past is that Jack has an awesome sounding board and an awesome support system, and you still won't hear a louder teammate on our sideline than Ellis Wilson. So I do think he needs a push here and there. Specifically right now, Jack's always a guy that responds really well to a challenge. And instead of us saying, "Hey, it's all right, go get the next one," that's just not the state that we're in, Ted. I don't care about feelings right now. What we're trying to promote is harder and more physical execution. So, and that goes for our goaltender as well. So he is doing some things well. He's doing some things poorly in a game against Robert Morris, but we know that we have him, we have Ellis, we have guys that can do everything well with the right amount of focus. We just got to get them to that point.
Albany's 1-4, but that's a little bit deceptive. They made a goalie change. Their starting goalie just wasn't stopping anything the first two games. They've made a change. The guy that's come in is doing a much better job. I mean, last night, the Georgetown goalie, we're recording this on Thursday, so they played Georgetown on Wednesday, and Georgetown's goalie just really stood on his head. Otherwise, that game would have been a lot closer.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. Don't forget that it's still pretty early in this run for all teams. You got to consider, I think the example that we gave to our guys about, they are more informed than any team or any group of guys I've ever had. So they know scores, they know saves, they know save percentages. Our faceoff guys know these other faceoff guys. They're in some weird fraternity, so they all know each other, but the depth to which they're evaluating that doesn't exist. It's a superficial evaluation. So they can read anything on Twitter, Snapchat, whatever, the internet, and say, "Oh, well, Robert Morris only beat Canisius by a goal and we beat him by 10." But they can't decipher the fact that Robert Morris hadn't probably practiced outside in about a month and a half. And they had two injured guys that came back for our game that were very impactful in our game. And Canisius against us were missing their two best offensive players. So there's all of these things early in the season, Ted, for Albany. I mean, Albany and Colgate were trying to play their game in our dome because they just didn't have a place to play it. So whether or not they're in a groove or not in a groove, it's basically dependent upon the location of your school right now. How much practice have you had? You know, what kind of injuries do you have? All of those things go into how a team's playing. You know, I remember way back when we didn't have the dome and I was getting interviewed before our Penn State game. And the inside lacrosse guy said, "Well, how do you feel about this game?" And I, you know, my response was, "Well, we haven't picked up a ground ball on field turf or outside yet. So I don't know, you know, we'll see. We haven't cleared the ball on a full regulation field in 3 weeks. So again, we'll see. So a lot of this stuff still needs to unfold. What we know about Albany is they're very good. They just, their offense is very skilled. They are deliberate in where they're stationed on the offense, but space very well. You know, Merrick Thompson, their offensive coach, is an excellent coach. And he's got excellent players. So we see their goalie as a good goalie. They have defensemen that can knock down a lot of balls, excellent stick work, and they push transition and run the field as well as anybody. So we have no business looking at a record right now or looking at goalie statistics or face-off statistics. The only thing we can do is focus on our execution and how we infiltrate an opponent's ability to get into a groove. So that's all we're looking at right now. Last year we played them, they were 0-4. This year they're 1-4. And both years they've had great teams. Last year they won the American East. This year they have all the ability to do so again. So for us, we need to take all of the failure that we had in last week, Cornell and RMU, and have it fuel and push our execution, not just the motivation. So we have to have great poise in our execution this week in order to beat this team.
All right, here's my weird stat of the week. You knew that was coming. But let's talk about getting off to a fast start. I did some numbers, and about 25% of the time in lacrosse, the team that scores first to go up 1-0 never trails in the game.
Yeah, that's great. I'd like to be in that 25% on Saturday, brother. But, you know, I think the biggest focus for us, and again, this message is becoming redundant, last week was how great can we play in the first 5 minutes of that game. That's what we talked about. So just so you know, Ted, we were in the hotel watching film, going over the keys to our scouting report, and the number one key was this is a different routine. This is going to be very cold environment. The locker room is a ways away. The wind whips. It's hard to hear. It's hard to da-da-da. All things that would require our great focus and toughness. And, you know, a tough team on the road or whenever starts the game well. They're prepared. They're prepared to play fast. They don't let it come to them. They just go, right? They go and let the chips fall where they may. They don't feel the thing out. That's not what, you know, full effort looks like. You play as hard as you can, and your coach has to dial you back and say, okay, we're running too much, we're taking too many chances, we're this and that, let's get a great offensive possession, or we're out on the perimeter too much defensively, we got to pack it in a little bit, you know, this let's make sure we occupy that whole shot clock next round defensively so that we can, you know, have a great defensive stop and clear. Those are the things that a coach should have to do on game day. So we failed miserably at the way we're supposed to start that game. You know, that statistic, Ted, is one that I wasn't aware of, but it's one that we feel as coaches. We always want to start well. We feel like when we do, it carries us into the second quarter. And if we can make it more simple in that, hey, we don't have to win a 60-minute game in this first quarter. We've got to win this 15 minutes. If we can make it that simple and not, you know, try to chase down the outcome. Like I keep telling these guys, surrender that outcome and be the process, man. Be in that first quarter as hard as you can possibly be. And then we'll let the chips fall where they may. We'll reset and we'll start the second quarter when it comes here. So we're going to push hard for a great start. We always do. Whether or not these guys listen as intently as we're asking them to and do it is going to be, again, up to them. And, you know, I do believe they're prepared to kind of ring that bell and answer that challenge.
You just jogged my memory. A question somebody wanted me to ask you was about why you didn't go in the locker room at halftime. So is that why it's a long way away and it would just take too much time to get there and back?
Yeah, so you got to walk up the stairs, you got to walk through the tunnel, and then you got to go into a building that's a little ways away, and then we have to go all the way down to the bottom floor, and the locker room was four separate locker rooms, so there was nowhere to really go. We still would have went inside, but we asked our captains, and they wanted to stay out. I think they were disappointed at the first half. They wanted to toughen up. They wanted to stay in the cold, and that's what they talked about was, they were focused, Ed. I don't know if they were focused. They were driven. You know, they're motivated. So at halftime, they were saying all the right things. You know, it's not too cold for us. You got to shake it off. Find a way to get warm. Find a way to toughen up. That's the only reason. You know, we asked them flat out, hey, do you want to go inside? Because as soon as we get there, we're going to have to walk right back. And they're like, no, we want to stay out. So, you know, that's something we're okay with.
So when you go into this game Saturday, do you say very much or do you just take a big picture of that scoreboard from last week and put it on an easel?
Yeah, well, you got to be careful. You know, it's one, I always say too much, but two, you know, I've talked a lot this whole week and, you know, these guys have heard my voice at a alarming volume since we got back Saturday evening. So, you know, for me, we've talked a lot about being very aware of the mistakes that we made. And they're, for us, the tactical or execution mistakes are a direct result of just an inability to be tough in the moment, you know? So if you're giving full effort, then mistakes of course will happen. But if you're not, then they're just going to continue and multiply and all that stuff. So we've really talked to them about knowing what happened, why it happened. And by the time this Saturday comes, it's got to be flushed. So we'll revisit it a touch just because our guys' memories are terrible, especially in the short term. But at the same time, Ted, we're not playing Robert Morris again on Saturday. You know, we've failed in that opportunity. So we've got to make sure that the motivation from that failure drives the execution for a different opponent in a different scenario. So that's a little bit tricky, but yeah, I think we're going to be pretty vocal about what has happened and what we'd like to see happen.
And listening to the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 94, Hobart, Albany, 2 o'clock this Saturday on WEOS. And you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, Google, Spotify, et cetera. And you can get all of your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. You still got four more games to get ready for the big ones that count. Maybe you've hit that low point that sometimes you need to get things back in the right direction.
Yeah, no, maybe we have. We're at a crossroads, brother. That was the message Saturday night. This is a crossroads. You know, we've shown the ability to play awful and in a highlighted moment. So how are we going to respond? And if we respond the way that we can, then everything's right in front of us, man. But we do have to make sure we respond correctly.
All right. Best of luck as always.
Thanks, Ted.